Righty-ho, from JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
How good a Fonterra, eh?
How good? Well, I'll skip over the price action in the US share market overnight because that's not good. That's a very ugly start to the week. That's not the case for Fonterra.
No.
They gave a positive update yesterday for their 25 financial year earnings guidance. And, Michael, I think we've talked before. Let's philosophize for a minute, shall we? I think we've talked before about how when you get positive announcements from a company, they tend to come in a run. You know, good news breeds good news. It does tend to work the other way as well. But Fonterra, it's on a roll. So they've increased their full year earnings guidance from 40 to 60 cents per share to 55 to 75 cents per share. So that's a meaningful lift. So those suppliers out there who own shares receive a distribution from Fonterra on top of the forecast Farmgate milk payout. So that's they're looking at $10, if not slightly more. Then they get this extra distribution as well. So that's just more money flowing into the agri sector. It reflects the strength of the core ingredients business and the resilience of the consumer channel. Now, there are Fonterra units that trade openly on NZX. Yesterday climbed to $5.45. That's up over 5%, almost 6% on the day, actually. Now trading at levels we haven't seen for, 6-7 years, I think. And what do you reckon to Mainland Group, Mike? Do you like the sound of Mainland Group?
Well, it depends on what they do with it. If they IPO it or just flick it off is the big question, isn't it?
Yeah, so busy day for Fonterra yesterday. So they announced this earnings upgrade, but they also started their roadshow meetings relating to the divestment of the, what is its global consumer-associated businesses. So they're working through a dual process, Mike. They're looking at a trade sale, or you know, which is selling the whole thing, lock, stock and smoking barrel, or an IPO, which means Mainland Group, as it's being called, would be listed on the NZX. Now, listeners out there and you and I could buy shares, which would be a huge boost to NZX. Yep. Admittedly, very early days, no real indication of which avenue they will take yet. It would be a big part of the NZX index if it came out, Mike. I mean, you're talking to a standalone business with revenue close to $5 billion, $200 million worth of earnings, probably goes straight into the top 10 index. And we'll just wait and see how that process goes. Obviously, a lot of questions as to why they're doing it, but they say they need to concentrate on what is their core business, which is that production collection of the milk solids.
Yeah, I don't agree with them on that, but that's for another day. These bank capital ratios, so Nicola Willis is involved with this, and I'll talk to the Prime Minister about this later, but this is interesting to see where this goes as well.
Yeah, I'm raising this, Mike, because I suspect that this isn't going away and it potentially impacts a lot of New Zealanders, you know, whereas we can talk about the funding of the Reserve Bank till we're blue in the face. But this one actually affects people because amidst the speculation around the resignation last week of RBNZ Governor Orr and his subsequent immediate departure, one of the points of potential contention between the government and the RBNZ is bank capital ratios. As I say, I think this becomes a bigger topic. Now, the BNZ in their weekly economic commentary yesterday raised an interesting point. I'll just work through this. In 2019, the RBNZ increased required bank capital ratios. For every dollar of loans, the bank needs to hold a certain amount of capital. Now, these new high ratios are being phased in over time. I think they started phasing them in 2022. I think it's over 7 or 8 years. Now, the RBNZ was applying a theoretical test around an untoward economic event, a liquidity shock, using a 1 in 200-year event. That's tougher than they use in Australia. They only use a 1 in 100-year event. Governor and Minister of Finance see this being restrictive, therefore it'll become a point of discussion between the central bank and the government. BNZ suggests that if the proposed path is moderated, banks would have to hold less capital, monetary conditions become more stimulatory, banks can lend more, therefore you wouldn't need as low a cash rate, which is an interesting consequence. Look, I think it was also talked about yesterday at the parliamentary committee when the bank leaders appeared before. So this isn't going away, Mike. There's more to come on this. Where does the new governor sit on this when they get a new governor?
Yep, these are good points, Andrew. That's why we pay you the big bucks. What are the numbers? How about that Dow,
Yeah, well, it's all looking quite sick, particularly the NASDAQ. And the NASDAQ at the moment flirting with a 4% loss on the session. It's 3.86 at the moment. A loss in the 3%, we do see that from time to time. It clicks over into 4. That's pretty ugly. Tesla under a lot of pressure. Apple under pressure. NVIDIA under pressure. They're all worried about recession, Mike. Trump is going to have to deal with this at some point. Dow Jones is down 1.5%, 42,135. The S&P 500 down 2.4%, 5630. And as I said, the NASDAQ 3.85% fall. It's down 700 points, 17,490. Overnight, the FTSE 100 lost 0.92%, 8600. The Nikkei was down Nikkei was up 141 points, 37,028. Shanghai Composite lost 6, 3,366. The ASX 200 gained 14 points yesterday, 7,962. We actually had quite a good day thanks to that Fonterra move partially. 0.94% gain on the NZX 50, up 116 points, 12,515. Kiwi dollar 0.5720 against the US, 0.9079 Aussie, 0.5281 euro, 0.4437 against the pound, 84.23 is Japanese yen. It's risk off everywhere, Mike. That means Bitcoin is under 80,000 against the US dollar, so that's falling. Gold, $2,897. Brent crude, $69.67. That is I can take a breath now.
Go have a stiff drink. See you tomorrow, jmywealth.co.nz.